Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is Apostle Dustin with the End Time Men and Women of War Bible Study, Monday Night Bible Study. It is a delight to have you come worship with us or do the study of His Word. I'm going to call our Bible study to order right now. I greet you in the awesome and powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am very delighted that you chosen to study with us on tonight. We believe that the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministry is not just another church. We're along with our staff and members and partners are committed to the study of His Word, praise and worship, and ministering to the whole man, the whole person. So we're just delighted tonight that you've chosen to come and study the Word of God with us now. I'm going to get ready to do our devotion, read a scripture, sing a hymn, read a scripture, and pray. Shine on. Shine on me. I wonder, will the lighthouse will shine on me? Going to be reading from Psalms chapter 4. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayers. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? But now that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. I have just read you the Psalm chapter 4 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and most of all, the doers of His most holy word. Father, we come humbly before your throne of grace, repenting. Father, we confess right now, we repent right now of every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against you. Father, we repent. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask your forgiveness. Lord, I come right now asking you to bind up the strong man. Bind up the strong man, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask you to bind them, every evil thought, every evil way, every negative thing, thinking, saying. Lord, I ask you to bind it and send it back to the sender in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we come for the study of your word. I ask you right now to cover our minds and our thoughts in the shed blood of Jesus, and encamp your angels today, Lord, and all around us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you today, Father, to let us all be on one accord on today, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless everyone, Lord, that's under the sound of my voice today, in the name of Jesus. Bless those out in radio land, in the name of Jesus. Bless their families, bless their end time, men and women of war. Oh, yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus, bless Apostle Dean today, in his absence, Father, and everyone that's not on here, Lord, Lord, that's supposed to be on here. I ask you to bless them right now, Father, in your holy name. Allow me to decrease today, that the Holy Spirit can increase them and teach your people, Father. I have no knowledge of myself, in the name of Jesus, so I love. Lay my will down, Father, before you today. In the name of Jesus, I just want to be old crackpot. Oh, glory to God. I want to be old pot, a broken vessel for you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, so I thank you today. Thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. I give you praise today. I give you glory and honor. We ask all these things today, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, and for your glory, hallelujah, glory to God. We just glad to be in the service today, one more time, just glad, we glad about it, hallelujah, to be in the service one more time, hallelujah. I thank and praise God today. We're over in the book of Daniel, hallelujah. Let me see what we are. Look like to me it says chapter 8, verse 23. I guess that's what it is. Next time I need to write the date by it. But anyway, we're going to start here. And it reads, and in the latter times of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences. We're talking about the little horn. The little horn is Antiochus Epiphanes of the line of the Sulada that took Syria. The only adequate explanation of this verse is the fact of history is that this man was a demon possessed. This Antiochus Epiphanes. In this respect, he is also a picture of the coming Antichrist. And that's what I was telling the radio put on the radio broadcast that we will be talking and studying on the Antichrist. The Lord Jesus made reference to him when he said, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That's in Matthew 24:24. But he did say that. And they're going to have enough power, just like some of these psychic people got, to tell you things and to show you things. But this Antichrist is going to have a lot of power, not as much as God gives, you know, his prophets and apostles, but he's going to have enough to fool some of the elect. Somebody. So you have to be watchful of that, because people, believe me, I've been fooled. I've been hoodwinked. Believe that. So this word is true. You'll be able to fool the very elect. You have to really be careful. If you're not paying attention, you better pay attention. Because I don't care who they you think they are, they wolves in sheep clothing. Verse 24 says, "And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper in practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people." So he's going to do a lot of damage, that little horn, the Antichrist. The holy people refers to Israel. The slaughter of these people by Antiochus Epiphanes seemed almost unbelievable. He was as bad as Hitler, and I'm telling you. Hitler and is so confusing to people nowadays, because Hitler supposed to kill a lot of Jews. Well, it's just so messed up in here, because somewhere in the Word of God it says something about these people that think they Jews but are not. See, we studied back here in the first part of Daniel where it, on the statue, on the image, where the people that's in control today is the European nation, the Gentiles. It said the Gentiles. Now, when we were in the Baptist churches and other churches, they taught us that we were the Gentiles. That's what they said. We were the Gentiles. But we're not, because we're not in control. We ain't controlling nothing. We don't even know how to walk right. We had to ask them for everything. We ain't controlling none today, but that's who they say are in control today, right today, the Gentiles. And I just, we're not in control of nothing. President Obama is in the White House, but he ain't never controlled really, because he always had a fight. So when they say Hitler killed a lot of European nations. He killed a lot of Gentiles. I'm just going to be real with you, because we're not in control today. They say the Gentiles in the European nation are in control of today. And however, he is merely adoration of the Antichrist, who is coming, of whom it is said, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints." The Antichrist will make war with us, "and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindred and tongues and nations." That's in Revelation chapter 13 and 7. Verse 25 says, "And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hands, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hands." Antiochus was but a faint type of king who is coming, and he will do four things which Antiochus did, Pamios style. He shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. We're told in Revelation 13, chapter 13, verse 17, that no man will be able to buy or sell save the one who has the mark of the beast. He will control the economy with a vengeance. Now, last week, and I did save it on my timeline, this man was on there, and he was saying that everything he's told and said in the last 20 years about the economy has manifested. And he was saying this time, money is not going to be able to buy anything, and this is what he's talking about. He's trying to warn America. He said money It's not going to even be an issue. It's not going to even be important anymore after a certain time. And I believe it. I believe it because they're going to want you to take that mark. I heard somebody else talking about 2017 or 2018, we was going to have to get the chip. Just the mark of the beast. We got to be prepared, red and ready. And I was telling Apostle Dean, I said, I'm just going to start buying packs of seed, cabbages, bell pepper, potatoes, tomatoes, whatever I get, and just keep them. If I get 100 packs, because you can always get a box or a flower pot or anything and put some dirt in it, and it'll grow. Greens and spinach, whatever. I'm finna start doing that because in Branson, Missouri, I forgot his name, they sell the little food and little packages that at the end of time that you could buy so much of it and just put it up. I know people have done that. Apostle Woods did. It's a lot of people have done that, but I'm just going to get some seed because you ain't going to be able to carry that stuff around and haul all that stuff, but you can carry a pack of seed somewhere and get somewhere and let it grow for a few days or a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. So he shall, okay, he shall magnify and see when he was magnifying himself in his heart, that's pride. Revelation chapter 13, verse 5 says that he is given a mouth speaking great and blasphemy. He will be given power to continue 42 months, which is 3.5 years. Humility is not a characteristic of the Antichrist. That's why I say he got that pride. He is like Satan, who was full with pride. My peace shall destroy many. He come in as a lamb, but he goes out as a lion. In Revelation chapter 6, he is the rider on the white horse. Notice that right after him comes the red horse of war. He has brought in a false peace. So, and a false peace is just really people thinking we're in a time of peace and safety and stuff, and we're not. He should stand up against the prince of princesses. You see, he will oppose, and that's what he won't win, but that's what he's trying to do. One of the marks of the Antichrist and of the first beast in Revelation chapter 13 is that he is against Christ. He's against Christ. Daniel chapter 8 and 26. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. Daniel was told that the vision would be for the distant future. So it's for the future that's coming. For it shall be for many days to come. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days after I rose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none the physical and psychological effect of this vision upon Daniel was devastating. And I can imagine just being used by God in that might, in that mighty way that he was used. I mean, when you praying and you get before the Lord, or you consecrating yourself and you get before the Lord and you fasting and praying, you devastating anyway. You sick because you weak, and it takes a lot out of you, especially when you're prophesying and praying. At this point, God was beginning to mesh the time of the Gentiles into the history of the nation Israel. That was the thing that puzzled Daniel at the first, and it shall puzzle a great many people. How can God mesh his program with Israel into his program for the Gentiles in the world? Today, further complicates it, his program with the church. The answer is quick and simple, of course. In our day, God is calling out a people to his name. We label this called our group, the church. When this is concluded, the church is removed from the earth at the rapture, and he will again turn to his purpose with Israel and the Gentile nation. I hope everybody understood that. That was awesome, because Daniel was, he was devastated, first of all, just like when John was on the Isle of Patmos writing the book of Revelation. When I tell you that, that's an awesome task when God calls you. That's a call on your life. That's a call. That's a calling on your life. We don't take it as serious as they have taken it. The stuff we've gone through in our lives, if we would sit down and write about it, people would be devastated. People wouldn't even believe it. They, oh, she lying, oh, he lying. We don't look like what we've been through. We don't look like it, because we're children of God. We're the children of God. You know, he blocks, and we get some bruises and scratches and cuts and stuff, but not that many, because God got that shield up. He's shielding us from a whole lot of things. But sometimes we have to get pushed around, beat around a little bit, so we'll know what it is and what it's for, and we'll take it more serious. We're in chapter 9 now. We're moving right along. The prayer of Daniel, prophecy of the 70 weeks. This is another one of these remarkable chapters in the scriptures. The prayer of Daniel. And I think this is where I stopped at the last time anyway. This prayer of Daniel is actually a culmination of a life of prayer. Daniel asked for a prayer meeting to learn the dream of Nebuchadnezzar at the beginning of the book, and he has been a man of prayer all the way through. The prayer in this chapter gives the pattern of his prayer life and acquaints us with the condition of prayer. Here are some of the basic elements in the prescription of prayer. Purposeful planning. Prayer was no haphazard matter with Daniel. He wrote, and I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Prayer was not just a repetition of idle words or the putting together pretty phrases with flowery grammar. The Lord Jesus said, but when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Such is not real prayer. And that's in Matthew 6 and chapter 6, verse 7. And a lot of people get up there and they use these big words and all that kind of stuff, and people not even worried about, some folks don't even know what the words mean. I used to be sitting in churches thinking, what that mean? What's that word? Because if you don't understand, is that how you acting and talking to God? God don't want to hear no mess like that. That's why when I go to him, I let my hair down, and I ain't got but a few strings. I let it all down. Let's not run. Tears fall. Whatever it is. I'm hollering and calling on the name of Jesus. I ain't trying to put on no kind of front. Not for Jesus, because he look at our heart. He look at our heart. He already know. She just lying. She lied. She did this. She said this. And it's not true. How many people sit up and lie, pray? They be lying about this. They be trying to put on a show for somebody else. Mm-mm. Not me. If I fell, if I got and I cussed, or whatever it was I did, if I stole, if I lied, whatever it is, I'm repenting to God because ain't nothing man can do for me but talk about me. But if I tell God about it, he'll forgive me. If I ask him, he'll forgive me. Okay. Painful performance. Daniel prayed with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. This was not done for outward show, but to reveal the sincerity of his heart. One doesn't see many prayer meetings like that today, and you don't. Some people fast, some people don't. They don't, you know, some people can't say they can't, and that's on them. Okay. Powerful petition. Daniel received an answer while he was speaking and praying. The angel Gabriel appeared to him to give him some explanation. This man got answers to his prayers. And thus, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And I'm just a living witness today. When I was praying one morning, I was praying, so I heard the angel say, what did he say? I'm at your command. And like I said, I repeated it because I knew that wasn't Jesus saying, I'm at your command. So when I repeated again, he repeated it. I said, okay, you at my command. And I started sending them out. Send them out. Tell them what to do. Hey, tell them what you need, all this. You know, so he can move and work for you. That's what your angel do. And some we have, all of us have them. And they just standing there with their hands folded because we don't never ask them to do anything. I remember I lost my keys. I said, Father, I'm going to ask my angel to show me where them keys was. And he showed me exactly where the keys was. Exactly. Had looked up 15 times. Okay. This man got answers to, okay, personal and private prayers. Daniel did not call a public prayer meeting. He prayed privately. This prayer of his is of 3 minutes duration. He just took 3 minutes to pray. Our Lord often prayed privately. His prayer, which is recorded in John 17, is also 3 minutes long. There are many of us who want to call a public prayer meeting when we ought to spend more time in private prayer with God. I think that's very important because you're working on your relationship with the Father. That's all. And you don't need everybody else standing there listening. Believe me, everything I go through, I learn from it. I have learned for the last 6 months. I've learned that my space is valuable. I've learned my time is valuable. I'm not letting everyone in my space anymore. No. That space is really built for important people that's going to do the right thing. So I'm saving that time for God, my husband and my family, the church members. I can't just let anybody in my space anymore. The Lord has taught me some things, I'm telling you, and showed me some too. The next is plenary penetration. plenary, and that means four, penetration. Prayer is the only force that has penetrated outer space to the throne of God. And it has. Excuse me. But prayer for Daniel was a real exercise, soul in spiritual travail. Such prayer is a raw work. It requires effort and endurance and suffering. When I tell you, this is nothing but the truth. When you actually pray, it's a real, real exercise. It takes, if you're tired, you got a ways to go. When you're tired and you're trying to pray 3 or 4 hours and pray and pray and pray, it's hard. It requires special effort and endurance and suffering. Because when you're praying that long, you're there, you're on your knees, you're worshiping, you hollering and crying and bowing down or whatever else, you may as well have some sackcloth and ashes pouring it on your body. Because you go through, you sweat, you're wet, you're purging, God cleaning you up. It takes suffering. It takes endurance, patience. When you're praying, when your prayer is affected, it takes people. Oh, I know they be talking about me, and I really don't care, because I be hollering, screaming, slobbing, snot running, crying, whatever it is. That's why I like to pray in my prayer closet. Go in there with your prayer clothes on and be ready to pray. Get down with the Lord. Have that intimacy, because I'm telling you, when you know when you got it. You know when you have it. It don't take long for God to move. When I tell you don't, it don't. That's why I tell people, God answer my prayer. He does. It may not be what I want. I've asked him for. It may be something else different. What I need. But God answered my prayers, especially when I pray for other people. Okay, we got to move on. In the first year, this is Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans or whatever. The first year of Darius, of the seed of the Medes, the two significant questions are, who was Darius and what was the date? Darius was the Medes, may be identified as Cyaxares the second, a secular history. Daniel 5, chapter 31. Darius is more an official title, such as king or emperor, than an actual name. It's a title, Darius. There has been some disagreement as to the exact date of this thing. Verse 2 says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the numbers of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. This is in the first year of the reign of Darius. Daniel has now seen a new great world empire come into position, and he is wondering about the future, and especially the future of his own people. So Daniel turns to a study of the word of God. He reads the book of the prophet Jeremiah, who said that Israel would be in captivity for 40 years. The date is about 537 BC in this chapter. Daniel is between 85 and 90 years of age, and he had been captured back in 606 BC when he was about 17. That means that the 70-year period is coming to a close. It is about the time that these people would be given the opportunity to refuse to return to their own land. Daniel was concerned about it. Daniel was concerned about it, and I guess he would be. Wait a minute, I'm trying to get my radio back. He was concerned about his people, that he was shaken by the little horn in chapter 8, Antiochus, Epiphanes, the Syrian king of Seleucid dynasty. He would abuse Daniel people, and he would desecrate the temple. And all of this caused Daniel great concern, because that rascal was doing some stuff to the temple of God, because he poured some pig juice in there, some swine, and God, you know, we ain't supposed to eat pig and stuff like that. We should notice that the determining factor which brought Daniel to this prayer was his study of the Word of God. The Word revealed that the will of God. A study of God's Word followed by prayer is the formula for determining God's will. These are the promises which Daniel read. And this whole land shall be desolation and astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Jeremiah 25:11. For thus said the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. Jeremiah 29:10. Keep in mind that Daniel has been studying Jeremiah's prophecy about this 70 years. And when Gabriel used the expression 70 weeks in verse 24, he was extending the time of the 70 years. The 70 weeks will cover the entire time of the nation Israel in this time of testing before the kingdom is established on earth. Just reading Daniel's prayers reveal how different prayers was in his day from what it is now. And it's true. It's different. Because they said some prayers, and I I'm sure their prayer was effective. And a lot of other people, everybody don't pray. No two people pray the same. Because all of us need them for different things. All of us need them for different things. So I just thank and praise God that I can go to God for myself, and we don't all have to go in a group. You know, we can call on him anywhere. You know, we can be in the bathroom, in the basement, wherever it is. We can call on the name of the Lord. Verses 3 and 4 says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek my prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that loved him and to them that kept his commandments. To seek my prayers and supplication with fasting, we are told that the Lord Jesus fasted, but fasting was never given to the people of God as a service. It was something that one could do over and above what was required. It is mentioned that in the early church, there were many who fasted. Paul wrote to the Christians at Corinth, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Daniel demonstrated a purposeful, persistent in prayer. Even Job in his prayer cried, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Jacob, in Genesis 32 and 36. This prayer of Daniel's is very personal. It concerns him and his people, which is evident by the repeated use of the first person pronoun, I, we, and our. They appear 41 times in this prayer. You may remember that we pointed out how Nebuchadnezzar used the personal pronoun in chapter 4. What is the difference? For Nebuchadnezzar, it was a mark of pride, a mark of being lifted up. The contrast of Daniel's use of the personal pronoun now is striking. It denotes humility, confession, and confusion of faces, in contrast to Nebuchadnezzar's pride and self-adulation. Daniel is down on his face before God. He recognized the attributes of God. First, we see that he rests upon his personal relationship to God. He calls him my God, appealing to God in a very personal way. Before he makes his confession, he dwells on the greatness of God. Dreadful God actually means worthy of reference. That's what dreadful God means. One cannot trifle with God. Daniel acknowledges that God keeps the covenant and mercy to them that love him. He not only makes promises, but he keeps them. He is immutable, and therefore he is faithful. He is also a God of mercy. It was by his mercy that the nation Israel had been preserved. It is by his mercy that you and I have been brought to this present moment. It is by his mercy he saves us. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because of his compassion fails not. God is gracious, but God also expects us to mean business, and God expects to be obeyed. This is notice Daniel's confession of sin. He says, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts, from thy judgment. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servant, the prophet, and spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, to all the people of the land. We have sinned. Daniel identifies himself with his people back there in the land of Israel when they rebelled against God, which resulted in their captivity. He is specific in his confession. He labels each sin, iniquity, wickedness, rebellion, disobedience, refusal to hear God properly. He writes them all down. He doesn't leave any out, not none. Okay, we're going to go on to 9, chapter 9, verse 7. Oh, Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confession of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off. Through all the countries, whether thou hast driven them because of their trespasses, that they have trespassed against thee. All of Israel that are near and that are far, the people of Israel, they were not lost tribes. It is a misnomer to call them that. Some of the tribes were near Daniel there in Babylon, and others were far off, but he knew where they were. He didn't say they were lost, but they were scattered through all the countries, whether thou hast driven them because of their trespasses, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of faces, to our king, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God alone mercies are given, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servant the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed. They transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they may not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that thy might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured out upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his word, which he spake against us and against our judges, that judge us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as have been done upon Jerusalem. It is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayers before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore have the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works, which he doeth, for we obey not his voice. Up to this point, we notice how Daniel contrasts God's goodness with Israel's sin. He contrasts his goodness with their confusion of faith, which was their shame. They were scattered because of their trespasses against God. They deserved the punishment they had received. God was righteous in sending them into captivity. God was right, they were wrong. If we go to God and start making excuses for our sin, if you say to him, Lord, you know that I am weak and I was in this and in that circumstance, you are blaming your sin upon God. You are saying that God made a mistake. He should have taken those things into consideration he has been so hard on you. See, we it's like when we sin like that, we get exactly what we deserve. But if we, you know, because people think, okay, I'm a sin and I'm just going to say, Lord, forgive me. And he does. But believe me, you might get by, but you won't get away. Every sin has a consequence. Everything that you do has a consequence. I'm telling you. That's why when I do or say something or think something, I try to hurry up. It'd be too late now. Don't think it's not too late. It'd be too late because I've been and did it or thought it or said it, and then I try to hurry up. And forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. You know, because believe me, and when he do it, he bring what you did right back to your memory. Oh, man, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have cussed. I shouldn't have whatever it was. Because believe me, God would bring it right back. I remember when I told God, it was been 30 years ago, when I had that heart attack, and it was before then, and I was working, and I was tired, and I said, Lord, you said, you promised me you was going to take care of me. You promised me this. I was praying, and I asked you, and you promised me you was going to do this for me. So when I had the heart attack, I just felt so bad. I was saying I got my degree and I done went to school all this time and they telling me I could never work again, not even in an office. I just started having a pity party. And I was saying, Lord, all of this work for nothing? And he said this, I told you I would take care of you. I'm like, how in the world is this taking care of me? But what it was, he slipped me right on into that disability. From the time I had the heart attack, maybe a week or two after that, I went right on. I had got some kind of disability on my job. Didn't even know I signed the paper, but I signed it. I sure did have money coming in that quick. And then they went on and put me on a regular disability. And I'm like, okay. And then a prophet, Wainwright, she told me, she said, ain't really nothing wrong with you, you know. I said, but they said I had this, I had that, I had. She said, listen to me. Really ain't nothing wrong with you. But God wants you to go into full-time ministry and do what you have to do. And I went into it some, but not like I should have. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we make up these excuses when we sin. Believe me, I'm the first one to tell you, you know, because and Satan will fool you. Because, honey, the bill collector call, you be saying, she ain't here. Just lie through your teeth. You know, just quick, I done did it. The other morning, Saturday morning, I went to the dollar store. I had seen these people, and they was all dressed up. It was just 9 o'clock in the morning. And I'm saying, who is this? And they getting in the car, getting back out of the car. It was, you know, Jehovah Witness. And I think, you know, I don't have none against none of them. Believe me, I don't. They witnessing. They are witnessing. What I have against them is they come running to you. Like you don't have, they the only one except the God. You're not. He came running to me, telling me, okay, you need to look at this. I said, I don't need to look at that. I said, I'm an apostle. I'm a pastor. I don't need to look at that. I know who God is. Y'all got to figure out who Jesus Christ is. That man walked so quickly away from me. He didn't say another word. Because I feel like they just should say, do you believe in God? Before they start all that other stuff. Don't do that. Mm-mm. But we all have done. We all make up excuses. Well, I didn't mean to say that, but I said it. Or this and this and this and this. And or whatever we've done, I didn't mean for it to go like that. But you did it. You said it. You know, and all that kind of stuff. We, you know, that's just the way it is. And we can't blame God for our sins. We can't do that. Mm-hmm. Daniel's attitude is the proper attitude that each of us should take as we approach our God in prayer. God will not utterly forsake us, but he certainly is not going to move on our behalf until you and I get it to the place where we can calm the mercies of God and stop making excuses for ourselves. Amen. I hope everybody, we stopping right here. We stopping right here at chapter 9, verse 15. Now let me pee on right. Okay, I'm going to write down where I stopped at. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I hope you all understood and got a good understanding of what we were talking about. We was talking about prayer mostly, but we have three more chapters here, and we'll be done with the book of Daniel. And we are going to go, and we're going to talk about prayer. And that's the next thing that we'll be talking about is prayer. And there's so many different kinds. So anyway, I'm not gonna talk about that tonight. But I'm not gonna hold you any longer. I'm so grateful that you all and even you in Radio Land took the time out to be on our radio broadcast on tonight. I love each one of you. I just thank God for you and thank you for being right here with me, and I do. I really appreciate it, and God is giving God all the glory. So I'm going to dismiss. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Ghost teaching us. Father, we thank you for everyone that's up under the sound of my voice. We ask you to cover each one of them in the shed blood of Jesus and encamp your angels all around about them to protect them. Father, I ask you to cover the ones in the radio land now, in their families right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You all have a blessed rest of the night, and God bless you. I love you. Have a good night. Amen.
Yeah.